emperor above all others.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Klingons.
On the starboard bow?
TIE Fighters. No, I don't know.
You can't be witty every week. You can't pull a zinger out every week. It's too tiring. I understand. Also joining us, friend of the show, we had him on last week to gush about X-Wing versus TIE Fighters, so we brought him back for some more. Welcome back, Hunter.
I'm just here for the donuts. Like,
oh, well.
Wait, what? Oh, shit.
Yeah, because you get that pink donut.
All this left is plain. I'm sorry.
Pink icing with the sprinkles on it. And you've gone full Homer at that point.
Yeah.
There's always one, right? And that's usually the one that's left.
And finally joining us, our guest this week, because it was his idea. It was my, after talking to him, I got the idea to do this. I'm like, why have we done a show about TIE Fighter? Like, solely about TIE Fighter. Host of the Upper Memory Block podcast, Joe Mastriani.
You got it right.
Woohoo!
All right. That was awesome. The practice paid off.
Oh, my God. I said it like 8 times.
It's a name like a big band leader would have.
Joe Mastriani and his band.
Yeah,
Joe Mastriani exactly. Players.
You need some bubbles. And, yeah.
I did
sounds like a good Italian restaurant name.
Mastriani's.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Well, it's actually there's a famous Italian actor from back in the day, Marcello Mastroianni.
Really?
Yes. You have to be old to know that, but
I'm sorry, I've not heard the name.
That's understandable.
But before we get to our main topic, let's talk about your podcast, Joe, because you have an excellent podcast, and we kind of crossed the streams a little bit in what we cover. You have the Upper Memory Block podcast. Now, for those who haven't heard it, why don't you throw the pitch out there for people who haven't heard it before?
So basically, the Upper Memory Block podcast is a little show that I do where I, every couple of weeks, I try and go in depth a little bit into a game from what I like to call the DOS and pre-Windows XP gaming era. Basically meaning any game ranging from, let's say, early 80s up to about the year 2000. And yeah,
that's a good era. That's a great era of
that's
gaming.
That's my era. So
yeah.
Give us some boot disk advice, because I've been trying to get Ultima 7 to work with the mouse driver at the same time. And it needs that XMS memory.
Excuse me. So it's a DOS equals high UMB. And then, yeah, you want to make sure that if you don't need the CD-ROM driver, then you just keep that out of there, because that takes up like 30K of memory. And you got to make sure to get the smallest mouse driver possible. I think I had one that was 1K.
Yeah, see, that was always a problem, right? Because I remember the boot disk problems that I had with, like, Falcon 4, and then trying to get...
You mean 3, I hope, not 4.
Or, yeah, Falcon 3. Oh, sorry, Falcon 4. No, that had its own problems. And then Strike Commander.
I was going to say Strike Commander.
Definitely Strike Commander.
That was my nemesis, was that one.
Yeah,
my nemesis for boot disks was Aces of the Pacific, because it needed 610K of conventional memory.
I swear to God, for Strike Commander, I think I squeezed like 636. I was so proud of it. And then the game was like, wow, I can't see 10 feet in front of me.
This game is virtually unplayable.
Yeah, and it's like, man, I got 4 megabytes. Come on.
It's really foggy here. It's really, really foggy everywhere I go. Why is that?
Man, I had megabytes.
Megabytes of RAM.
Oh, right. God, so many megabytes. I remember those megabyte chips. Now, I want to talk about one show in particular, Joe, and you know where I'm going with this.
But folks, know exactly where you're going.
Folks, Joe did a show about Privateer. And when I saw he did that, I was like, "Ooh, Privateer." You know, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't played Privateer, pause right now, go to GOG and get it. I'm not even – it's like $6.
It's like, $6, $5. Like, yeah, buy it, people. Come on.
Just go. Just right now. But I wasn't expecting you to hit on Privateer 2. And when you did – when you started talking about Privateer 2, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. But I have to say, your treatise of Privateer 2 was
– I took a lot of people by surprise, because I'm generally very positive about things.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I try and be very positive about things too, but I did a couple of videos of playing Privateer, and you could just be like, you could hear me just going, oh God, this fucking game. This goddamn game.
Yeah, it had Walken in it though, right? So you can kind
of use... No, it had Clive Owen, John Hurt, Jürgen Prochnow, David Warner. It had an amazing cast.
That's the most horrible thing. It should have been so awesome.
It should have been great. And the writing was terrible. Oh. And the world building was I don't even know what the hell was going on with the universe in that game. Navigation was ridiculous. But there were two things, and Joe, you touched on this, but I do want to talk about it real quick. Two things that made that game – three things, really, that made that game horrible, unplayable.
Four things.
One –
can we go for five?
Whenever you got into combat, you couldn't run away. That was terrible.
Which was a design decision, by the way. That wasn't a mistake.
No, I can't imagine it was a mistake. That's too ingrained into the entire gameplay to be a mistake. Second, whenever you jump to a planet, you're like, oh, I have to hit my afterburners for 15 minutes just to get close enough to freaking land on the thing. Thanks, guys. I'll go read a book now. And finally, if you want to haul cargo, you have to hire a freighter, which basically means you create your own goddamn escort mission whenever you want to trade. And you know how much everyone loves escort missions.
We're going to force you to do the thing that everyone hates to do to make any money in this game at all.
Exactly. And it was named Privateer 2, so after Privateer 1, we're all like, woo! Oh my God, it's going to be so great! It's one of the biggest disappointments in all of space gaming, I think.
Oh, and I think the worst thing for me was the interlaced video.
You want to hear something funny about that? Someone on the CIC, the Wing Commander CIC, made a patch to fix that. And here's the funny thing. It fixed it, but it totally screwed up the joystick. So
you can watch the video.
Yeah, you can watch the video, but you can't really play it. But you know what? That's probably not a bad thing, because the video, for as so 90s as it is probably the best thing about that game, because the actors.
Right.
Jim and Hunter, you've both played Privateer 2, right? I'm remembering correctly, right?
I have never played it, actually. I've watched over the shoulder of a friend as he suffered mightily, and that's about
that's
it.
That's what that game is. That game is all about suffering.
Go and watch Ryan's video, because I watched it after I posted some, I think, back on Gamers with Jobs that I was doing the show, and you posted that video, and I watched it, and I was like, yeah, that's about right. You were quite angry.
Yeah, I try not to be angry when playing games, because games are supposed to be wonderful, joyful experiences. Even if they're challenging and hard, they're supposed to be awesome, and that was not awesome. But yeah, you ripped into Privateer Privateer 2, excuse me, masterfully, and I just wanted to just touch on that, because that was fantastic.
Well, I thank you, sir.
And what's the URL? It's what's the URL for your show?
It's at umbcast.com.
Okay, folks, umbcast.com. I'll put that in the post as well. Absolutely. So, folks, go check it out. It's a fun. I also listened recently to the LucasArts Flight Sims ones, which kind of bleeds into this.
Yes, it absolutely does.
And I played all of those, and you're absolutely right that Secret Weapons of the Luftwaffe was the best of all of them. I mean, they were all great, but that one, oh my God, that one.
And that one is basically X-Wing not in space.
Yeah, it's like X-Wing 0.5. Like, it's on the way to X-Wing, but not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking, folks, about TIE Fighter. Now, you might be wondering why we're not talking about X-Wing. Because X-Wing, you know, it's good. It was fun. But, I mean, am I wrong in thinking that TIE Fighter just supplants it and supersedes it and surpasses it in pretty much every way?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, absolutely. It basically takes like everything that was good, because X-Wing was a good game.
Yeah.
But TIE Fighter literally takes everything that was good about X-Wing and removes the few little sticking points that we didn't like.
I mean, God, just adding the match speed command alone.
I spam that damn button. I'm following a Y-wing, and it's just like match speed.
I was just playing it. And I'm just like enter, because I'm going after gunboats and the TIE defender. So it's like enter, just to slow the fuck down. But I mean, the game was pretty freaking amazing. I mean, there was a demo that came out, if anyone recalls, before the game came out, that had a mission, if I recall, that wasn't in the actual full game, and it really gave you a taste of what was to come, because when I first heard about this, I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, why would I want to play the bad guys?
And especially like I'm as you guys are as well, I'm sure, I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Of course.
And so, you know, doing all this stuff, reading books, reading like, you know, West End Games source books, and you're reading all this stuff and they're like, oh, you know, the TIE fighters are like these little crap ships and you're like a disposable pilot. I'm like, I don't want to be disposable. Like,
why would I fly that? Why would I want to be in a bucket with wings basically and no shields? Why would I want that? But the amazing thing about this is it made the Empire sympathetic.
Well, see, that's an interesting thing that you just said, because somebody in chat on the stream said it was, you know, one of the first games that lets you play the villain. But I've got to say that, you know, light side, dark side, it's a matter of perspective. I mean,
like, are you really like,
you know, the Empire was just trying to bring order to the chaos of the galaxy.
Yeah, you know, and as like a trooper or a pilot, maybe I just think I'm glorifying my family name or something. I mean, who knows?
You're helping bring order to a chaotic universe that's just, you know, gone through the Clone Wars with an ineffective Senate. You know, it was a mess out there. It needed a firm hand.
Well, I believe
because I hear those Jedi are corrupt. You know,
Han Solo,
and you know the Empire's on the verge of success.
Well, Han Solo was supposed to have been a TIE fighter pilot before he defected.
Yeah.
Alpha, yes.
Right.
So. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He was totally a TIE fighter pilot. At least that's the. That's the canon that was given to us in the extended universe, I think, which is not canon anymore. Which, as well as this game. This game is not anywhere. This game is defunct in terms of Star Trek canon. So the TIE Defender and the missile boat might not even.
I see what you did there.
And the assault gunboat.
Star Trek canon.
What can only hope.
What did I do?
You said Star Trek canon.
Oh God!
You mean phaser? Sorry. What?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm still suffering from the after effects of daylight savings time. Because I got no sleep the last 2 nights.
Well, you talked about canon though, but Grand Admiral Thrawn was in it. You know, was in TIE Fighter, which I thought was excellent.
Oh God, I love that. Amazing. I love that because I love Thrawn. I don't know. I don't care what anyone says. I love Thrawn. You know, he's an asshole, but.
Any of the books that had him in it were always great, and you know, so
he's a great character.
He's a great character. He's a great villain, and again, it's just he's not just evil. He's like, you know, he's smart. He's everything. He's not just he's not Vader. He won't just choke you. You know,
he'll try to outthink you. He'll try to outsmart you, which is
by
much more,
about your art.
Yeah, which is See, much that, more respectable.
That always caused me a problem though in the first Star Wars movie when they were basically treating Vader like a bitch. And, you know, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, you frickin' wizards and whatever. Whenever they're sitting around the, you know, in the Death Star and the guy's smack talking and Vader has to choke a bitch. And then
Death Star conference room.
Yeah. Yes. and then the second movie, it's like, oh, yeah, well, you're the second in command. And it's like, well, wait a minute.
He's never the boss. Like,
no, but why would the generals be like smack talking the guy that you know, when you find
out,
you
know, I can choke you with my mind, right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
I got the feeling that they didn't really have much exposure to him, so maybe they didn't realize fully understand how just gobsmackingly crazy he was.
I mean, they may have thought he was like he might have even been just like a robot or something or a droid, you know, like no one. Yeah. I don't know if anyone knew that he was Anakin Skywalker.
And if they did, they could have been like, well, yeah, remember that pod race? Yippee! Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, the Emperor knew who he was, of course.
Of course. But, I mean, it had been, what, 30 years between episodes 3 and 4?
I think it's something like that. So, yeah, it would have been enough time that these guys that came up. No, there's no like leftover old Republic.
It's about 20.
Kids.
Yeah, it had to be 20 cuz Luke was
Well, no, yeah, it's cuz Luke and Leia are 19.
Oh, yeah, so yeah. 20, excuse me. Unless Luke is the whiniest 30-year-old you've ever met.
Well,
that's not outside the realm.
I want to go to Tosche Station, get some power converters. Damn it.
It's actually awesome. So, we did talk about my gaming podcast. I actually do another podcast with some friends that is actually all about Star Wars novels.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. So the next one we're covering is the next new novel that's coming out in this new canon, which is actually the first. It's about Luke.
Oh, interesting.
And there's one little excerpt at the beginning of that book where Luke's talking to someone, and this is like I think right after he's kind of like, he just blew up the Death Star. He's like all awesome. And he's like a lieutenant and whatever. And he's talking to this girl and he's kind of like telling her, oh, you know, the greatest thing that I used to look forward to was going to Tashi Station to pick up power converters. And apparently that's something that sucks, but it was exciting for him. And then he stops and he's like, oh, wait a second. I never went to get those power converters. I wonder if they're still there.
Huh.
I'm like, that is a great reference.
That's pretty great, actually.
And that is not canon.
I thought the book about Tarkin was one of the first ones in the new...
So this is actually the third one. So there's one called A New Dawn, which is about the Rebels show.
Okay.
Then Tarkin came out, which sucks. I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
It's a bad book. But at least in my opinion, I'm sorry. And then this is the third one, and there's quite a few more coming. Next one's Lords of the Sith, which is basically Vader and the Emperor have fun on a planet shooting lightning and stuff.
Ooh.
Which could be interesting.
Gotta let that little.
And then there is the one that appeared in High Times, which was Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Spliff, or Woo-hoo! Dank Lord. Yeah, it was Dank Lord of the Spliff.
I had to stop. I'll be honest. I had to stop reading Star Wars novels around the time of the Jedi Academy trilogy.
Did you read the comic books though, man? Back in the 70s,
with the Sun Crusher thing or whatever that was.
No, man. Back in the 70s, we had a green rabbit running around with
the green rabbit.
I do not remember this.
It was Jax, man.
Jax.
What?
Green rabbit. Oh yeah. It's very upset.
What?
Yeah, man.
Seriously?
Yeah, I actually went back and read those.
So he was like the Rocket Raccoon of the Star Wars universe?
Absolutely, yes. It was actually like Jazz Jackrabbit, I think, was spawned from, I don't know. But they're both green rabbits in spacesuits, so you go figure it out.
That's a little too coincidental.
So you said you stopped reading around the time of the Sun Crusher stuff?
Yeah, with that one really dark Jedi Academy candidate, and it was just so bad, and I just was like, I gotta stop.
Really? I didn't mind that one.
I did read a couple after that. I can't remember which one. What the fuck?
I mean, there's a lot of crap in there. Like,
Yeah.
I read them when I was a kid, so it was kind of like, oh, it's Star Wars, and it's great, and, you know, maybe it's just because I'm not reading it closely enough that I don't understand what's going on, but then I go back and read them, I'm like, no, I didn't understand what was going on because this book sucks.
No, I read Honor Among Thieves recently, which was by the guys who also did the Expanse series, and that was really good. I liked that one a lot.
And actually, I'm also quite enjoying, we were talking about the 70s comics, I'm enjoying the new comics as well.
So really?
There's new canon comics. There's like Marvel Star Wars.
Oh
yeah, because Marvel got Star Wars back.
Yeah, so now it's back and better than ever. So yeah, the I think there's two or three issues of Marvel Star Wars out. There's two issues of Darth Vader, and the first issue of one comic that just focuses on Leia is out.
What?
So Comixology, check it.
I know. I always thought that Dark Horse did a really good job with the comics. To be honest with you.
Oh yeah, no, I like the Dark Horse comics, and I, you know, if they had kept the license, it wouldn't have bothered me. But you know, Marvel is Disney, Star Wars is Disney, so it was inevitable.
Now, did you ever hear about the comic called The Star Wars?
Yes, that was kind of like the they took like Lucas's original treatment of stuff that was crazy and made no sense, and is that like the one?
And they turned it into like a comic book series and like with original artwork and design and stuff. Well, it was like a retelling of Star Wars. I read that and I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I think they fly ships, like their fighters look like Star Destroyers and.
What?
Yeah, it's insane.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta check this out. It's like Star Wars, like parallel universe Star Wars on crack.
Oh, I do.
Oh yeah, it's pretty awesome actually. Yeah.
But it's back to TIE Fighter. It's really a shame that this isn't part of the canon anymore because the story is excellent. You know, I mean, a civil war within the Empire. I mean, that's pretty damn great. You know, I thought it was great. I mean, what else are you going to do? You already did the Rebellion. So I thought it felt like a really natural evolution.
And I think it would have been boring if you were just chasing Rebels all the time.
Yeah, it would have been. Mm-hmm. It would have been. They had to mix it up, and they did really a phenomenal job. I mean, of course you do fight Rebels, obviously. But when you got to start to fight other TIE fighters and stuff, like let's all talk about when that happens. Folks, if you haven't played the game and you're planning to, just fast forward a bit.
It came out in like 1995 or something. Like
you never know with people. The minefield mission. Yeah, the amazing minefield mission where your wingmen are goading you and you have to fly around this minefield. And they're like, kill him. It's like, whoa. Is this Star Wars or Justified? What the hell just happened?
And that's the thing, like TIE Fighter is, like we were saying, how it's better than X-Wing in many ways. Like, this is a cinematic game. Like, for a game that doesn't, like, this isn't Wing Commander, which was, like, intended to be that way, and that was Chris Roberts' thing, and
right.
Blah, blah, blah. Like, this, for just having cutscenes between battles, really, you feel like you're playing a story here.
Yeah, and you really are, and... This to me kind of gets to one of the downsides of the game is the puzzle nature of some of the, of basically all the missions, really.
I mean, to me, it's a downside, but it's also cool. Like,
yeah, it's cool until you fail the same mission 10 times.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So Joe, you're playing through it right now. Where are you?
I wanted to play more from last time we talked, but I didn't get a chance to. So I'm in around battle 3.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't gotten, but obviously I've played the game before and I know what goes down.
Right. Cause yeah, I'm at battle 9 and I think I might be done because there are 4 more battles and I'm like, really? How am I going to do this?
And that's the thing I remember about this game. Cause I was like, I was coming from X-Wing and at the time I didn't read a lot. Like I think I occasionally got copies of like Computer Gaming World and stuff. Yeah, so I didn't know that, like, you know, that this game had, you know, however many it is, 12 battles or whatever. So I kind of figured, oh, it's like X-Wing. Like there were what, 3 original tours or were there 4?
3 or 4.
Okay. Yeah. And then, so, you know, and then 2 expansions. So I'm like thinking like, oh, you know, 4, 6. And then, you know, you get to the end of battle 6 and you're like, well, the story's not done. It's like start battle 7. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Like the original game, I think had like 6 or 7 battles and then they had the 2 expansions.
Right.
Which took it up to 13 in total, I think. Which is crazy. That's well over 100 missions. That's a lot.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, I think the battles are shorter.
Yeah, they're like 4 or 5 missions each, I think, or 3 or 4 or 5 at the most. They're pretty short compared to X-Wing, but they just feel – they really feel more contained. Like not only are they part of a larger story, but they're also kind of their own little story, you know, which I really dug. But it's kind of amazing how they just made the Empire, like, I'm fighting for the Empire. Like, you become, like, here's a funny thing. You become this guy that's in the secret order of the Emperor, right? You know, mm-hmm. Serve the Emperor above all others. And you get that tattoo, right? Mm-hmm. Which is awesome, that purple glowy tattoo. I almost got that tattoo myself. And I got
I could see that.
Well, hang on. I got a henna version of it to test it out, because I always do that. And it looked good. I liked it, but then I showed it to some friends, and like they're like, that looks really anti-Semitic. What?
Oh,
yeah. Wait. They're like, yeah, it looks like a symbol from Nazi Germany. I'm like, no, but it does. it really does.
So how many tattoos do you have if you like always test them with henna first?
I have 3.
Really? Of what?
Yeah. I've got a tattoo from Supernatural and then 2 original designs, and then my next tattoo is going to be a symbol from Free Space 2.
Wow.
I'm going to get that.
So just make sure it's not anti-Semitic.
Right. Well, what about like the flag from Last Starfighter? You could totally get like...
No.
Or better yet, no, get a Gunstar tattooed across your chest like a battleship. And then...
Well, no. After that...
Awesome.
I'm going to get an Interstell symbol from Starflight and an Empire symbol from this because I can't get the actual tattoo. And then maybe a Confederation symbol from Wing Commander.
That'd be cool. You
know? Yeah. So like 3 tattoos on one arm. And then one large one on the other. So I've got 4 more planned to the chagrin of my girlfriend. But yeah, it's like these guys are evil and they're using – I was shocked that this whole thing – that thing was anti-Semitic. But these guys are bad guys. And that really reminded me that, yeah, these are bad guys.
and parts, you know, parts of the Empire, if you go back to Lucas and what he was doing, a lot of it was based on Nazi Germany and, you know, the Soviet Union and all that. So it makes sense that they might have gone that way.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. But it was just – it was so subtle. Like I would never have thought of that. Not once in the entire 3 or 4 times I've played this through.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm looking at it. It doesn't look anti-Semitic to me. It looks like the frickin' glaive.
It doesn't look like me.
From whatever.
No, but it, there's a symbol. I looked it up. There is a symbol that that was used by members of the SS, I think, that looks quite similar to that tattoo. I'm not even kidding. I'll have to dig it up.
You know what's pretty awesome, though, is you could actually get the tattoo that reacts under blacklight just like that.
Yeah, that costs a lot more money. To get like an ultraviolet tattoo like that, that costs a lot more money. I mean, the place I go to is $200 an hour just for black ink. So, I mean, I don't think I'm going to, you know, throw however much more. Anyway.
I mean, if anything, it looks like they ripped off the symbol of the Klingon Empire.
A little bit, which might be its own thing. Don't really know.
Who knows?
Now, let's talk about some of the improvements between X-Wing and TIE Fighter. Now, we already mentioned the match speed button, which is one of the most important improvements, I think. But one of the other ones is the multifunction display.
Yes.
Because remember in X-Wing, it was like that static, mostly static.
It was a schematic, basically.
It was like a schematic. It was like an X. You know, it was like a kind of a crosshair thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have a little dot. I think the dot would move around, right? But with TIE Fighter, you can actually see what a target is doing relative to where you are. Like, you can see if they're flying toward you or away from you and whatnot. And that just really adds an amazing amount of situational awareness. You know,
it does. And it also adds a lot of dynamic kind of movement on the screen. Like, when a lot of times you're really just looking at the starfield spinning around, here you get to see something moving all the time. So it livens things up.
It really does. It really does. You can see what they're doing. It's really kind of fascinating. And it also kind of helped, because the radar in these two games is not great. I don't fully understand how they thought this was good, because I've never been really a fan of it. You have your forward radar and your backward radar. Like, what? But what was one of the other things they added? God, I'm trying to remember.
I mean, there's the beam weapons.
Oh, the beam weapons. Oh, God, the beam weapons. I could never get a handle on those. I could never get anyone in my tractor beam. Like,
The only reason I liked the tractor beam was if you were in a gunboat or something slow and you could snag an A-wing, you could actually do something to it. Because that's like the bane of my existence, is A-wing versus assault gunboat.
Oh, that's true. Now, there's a if you're calling the game, if you hit the Z key, there's like a status display that'll tell you what the target's doing. I don't think X-Wing had that either.
No, it didn't. Not in the original version. I'm trying to think, did they add it
I think they did. But
in the enhanced version or whatever.
Here's what I love about that enhanced version. They added all these enhancements from TIE Fighter, like the match speed and all that stuff, but not the multifunction display.
Yeah.
I'm like, why not? You're adding everything else. God, why not? But yeah, that Z button that shows you like what exactly the target is doing, where it's going, what it's shooting at, that was incredible right there. You know, so just some of those things alone added immersion and situational awareness that the first game, you didn't even know that the first game lacked until you played this. You're like, wow.
Because like when I played X-Wing, I was like, well, I guess the thing for me with X-Wing is initially I was actually a little bit disappointed by it, just because I had come from Wing Commander, and Wing Commander, like I said, is very cinematic. It's a beautiful looking game. And then I kind of came to X-Wing, and I hadn't played, you know, Secret Weapons of the Luftwaffe and stuff, so I didn't really know what to expect. So then I came in and I kind of saw these like kind of wireframey sort of models. And so visually for me, it wasn't as impressive.
Right. But I loved how this game looks, even today, the CD version, which for some reason isn't on GOG. You know, the CD enhanced version.
They just have the Windows version, right?
They have the original DOS version.
Yeah, that's what I'm playing.
Yeah, which only runs in 320 by 240 or something. Mm-hmm. And then they have the Windows, you know, version. But they don't have the CD-ROM special CD version, which goes to 640 by 480. And has garage shading and all that stuff, which just looks so much better. I don't understand why. Might be a licensing thing, they said.
Maybe Disney wouldn't release it or whatever.
I don't know. It's like, this is the this is the ultimate version of the game, I think, is this DOS CD-ROM version. Because it still has the iMuse, which is the best.
Yeah, that's the only reason I'm playing the DOS version, is
I can't live
without it.
Oh, yeah, you can't live without it. I mean, the Redbook audio, sure, it's nice, but it's not reactive like the iMuse is. like, oh, that's Star Destroyer music right there. Oh shit, you know, like, that's a big bad guy just warped in music, you know. Oh darn.
And the fact is that it's not just like, you know, the Star Wars soundtrack on loop. Like, it's, I think, was it Peter McConnell?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I have all this stuff in my head because I literally just released an episode on Grim Fandango, so I'm like in LucasArts right now.
That's interesting is with the GOG version, somebody put out a patch that changes the music right back to the iMuse stuff, but it's like so better than the original iMuse music.
Well, here's the problem with that though. It's just the music. It's not the whatever algorithm they use to react to shit. So it's just the music. Which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of the MIDI stuff on loop sort of a thing.
Yeah, because it doesn't have the iMuse hooks to it. So there was no way to tell which song to play when, you know, so it just plays it. So it's better, yes, but it's not the same. But yeah, you're playing the correct version if you got it from GOG. You are definitely playing. Now, if you want to play the best version, dig up the CD.
I think I might have it floating around on my CD rack.
You probably do. Anyone who was anyone back in the day had a copy of this.
Yeah, I got a copy of it.
I think I have two.
Just in case.
Yeah. But yeah, this game, and let's talk about some of the new, because it did so much more stuff than X-Wing, but it also had, I think, a lot more craft as well. Like X-Wing, let's see, you had the X-Wing, you had the TIE, you had the X-Wing, Y-Wing, A-Wing, and B-Wing, right?
An expansion, yeah.
But in this, you had the TIE Fighter, the Bomber, the Interceptor, the Advanced, the Defender, the Gunboat, and the Missile Boat.
We don't have to talk about that one.
But it's like twice as many craft, and craft you had never seen before. Like, I was like, what the fuck is an assault gunboat the first time I saw one?
Actually, the gunboat was in X-Wing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was there.
I forgot about that.
Now, did they introduce the Z-95 in TIE Fighter? I can't remember.
Yes. Well, I think it had existed in EU.
In the books, it was in the books, I think. But it was, you never got to fly one until, did you fly them in X-Wing? I can't even remember.
No, you did not. I don't think they even appeared in X-Wing.
No, but you did get to fly against them here.
Yes, and they're garbagey.
Oh God, they're the Yaris of space.
Yeah, like the only thing you have to worry about is if you're in a TIE bomber, then they might harass you a little bit. But even then, but I will say there is no greater sensation than being in a TIE bomber and smoking X-Wings because you know you can. But in fact, the mission that I was playing before we got in here tonight, it was one of those like inspect all the cargo containers while we fling X-Wings at you.
Oh God. Oh, God, the worst. What is it with this game and inspecting things?
Well, you know.
Why can only you inspect them? Like, there's
That was like a save, man, last week whenever we were playing the Rebel campaign in XVT, is that one mission where you're in A-Wings and you have to inspect the entire Imperial fleet as it flies through. I tried playing that as a single player. And I just rage quit it, like, you know, 15, 17 years ago or whatever. It just could not be done by a human being in single player. And when we had 8 people able to inspect stuff, oh, well, it went over pretty good. So, you know.
Especially since we all, like, cut the power to everything except engines.
It's like, just burn in there and burn out of there.
Exactly.
You fly too fast for them to be able to hit you.
Which is hilarious.
Because, I mean, yeah, you could literally do... tell your wingmen to do most other things, but you couldn't say inspect my target. Like that would be really good.
You know what else these games didn't have that I wish they did? Protect my target.
Yes, that would be good too.
I mean, what other game needs this more than this goddamn game?
It's like every other mission, well, especially in TIE Fighter, it's always like do the entire mission and protect your, you know, mothership because someone's going to come in and harass the Victory class Star Destroyer and, you know, it might maybe get destroyed.
Yeah, the only way you could really do a defend would be to save the target on, you know, your F5 through F8 and then recall it, hit A to see who was attacking it and then shift A to send your dudes.
That's the only way that works, but that's so much more like boom, 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 rather than just, you know, boom, here, you protect this.
Yeah. And it's
like, that was one of the most important things in free space was, oh, you got you wing alpha, protect this target. God damn it. You just do that. That's your job. But You can't do that here. And it's like the mission I just played, I got no wingman even, and I'm supposed to protect not only a freighter but a shuttle from wings of transports and TIE bombers.
And these are and these are both basically like the squishiest things in the game.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly. Like, great. That's thanks, guys. No wingmen. I can call in for reinforcements once, and it's a couple of gunboats. Whee!
They all get destroyed because all the UI, the AI pilots are bad. So.
Yeah, they're not great. So that's great, guys. Thanks. Good job. This game definitely did have a wall, but it's kind of interesting. Like, did we have more patience or more time back then?
It was probably, I don't know if it was both. I feel like I have more patience now that I'm, you know, matured and older. And
I don't. I have less. It's like, I have so many games to play now and such less and much less time to myself. I'm like, I need you to get me in there now, man. Just hit me now. Come
on. It's just got to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it was more time than anything from like me too. It was, because I think I get more frustrated now, but I have like less time to play.
Exactly.
But I think it was more time and like Brian said, less games. Like when, you know, I bought TIE Fighter. And, you know, that was the game that was out. You know, maybe there was one or two more, but it's not like now where you're like, oh, my Steam library has like 300 games in it, and I've played 50 of them, and I feel bad.
God, exactly. Yeah, Iridium said less distractions, and he's right. Like, this was the game you bought for 6 months, you know, and this is what you played until Christmas when you got your next game or whatever.
It's not like my library of Steam games, which is like 1,200, and you're just like, what? Like, obnoxious.
I don't know what to play. Let's scroll down my list. No, 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 no. I don't want to play anything here. What's wrong with me?
Exactly. And then you got a game, and it was just like really the only thing to play, and you just like bit the bullet and played it, and you're like, oh, I actually do like this game. Or I don't, or, you know.
I don't, but this is what I've got, so I better play it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, Iridium, you are correct. Less distractions. No Twitter, no Facebook, no smartphones. Shitty internet. I mean, there was internet, but it was very different in 1994.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Like, I might have been on Prodigy.
We did have Blockbuster, right? And that was a...
Better get those videos back on time, son.
Be kind, rewind.
Oh, God. Did anyone have a specific rewinder? Did anyone have that?
Yes, we had one.
Yeah, of course. It's like, talk about a niche product.
Remember when they sold DVD rewinders?
I think my dad still has it.
Oh, God. What was that,
Jim? It was a gag gift. It was a DVD rewinder. So what? It was a spindle, and you'd stick the DVD on it and spin it backwards. It was, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Funny thing. I will never forget the first time my parents got a DVD player. My mom would always have me rewind her videos for her or whatnot. And she got done watching this DVD for the first time. She asked me to rewind it. I said, just take it out of the DVD player. Like, she's like, I don't understand. The concept to her was just mind-boggling.
It's like, but how do I watch it again? It's at the end.
That's really right, what put Blockbuster out of business, right, is they lost all the rewind fees, and then they slowly just decayed.
That was definitely part of it. But yeah, like Iridium in the chat said, you know, he was in his basement with a CRT. Oh, God, remember CRTs?
My eyes.
I had a giant 15-inch.
Oh, God, they weighed
80. I had a 21 by the end of it, and that thing, like, it literally bent the desk bowed under its weight.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Those things are insane. But yeah, like even like a 19-inch Trinitron. You remember the Trinitrons? It's like,
oh, God.
Yeah.
They weighed 80 million. I had like a 27-inch Trinitron.
Yeah, and whenever you had a monitor like that, you had to have your desk like 3 feet off the wall so the ass of the monitor would like go out that far.
And then you had to put a beam under the monitor to support the desk.
Exactly. Hell of a thing.
I actually had a really nice 19 at one point, and my cat actually destroyed it. She would sit because of all the heat coming off of the tube. She would sit on top of it, and I don't know if it overheated or what, but it just like one day it just wouldn't turn on, and I was like, no.
Oh, and those things were so expensive back then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. So I mean, this game kind of is a product of its time still, but it's also kind of timeless, I think. Whoa.
I definitely think it's got replay value for sure.
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, I've been spending the last year and a half playing through it here and there, and it's still wonderful, but it gets to be met. Did we lose somebody on Skype, by the way?
I'm still here. 1, 2, 3. I see everyone on the thing.
Jim?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I just heard a very weird noise. Sorry, folks. Am I still streaming?
Yeah. I see a stream.
Okay, I don't know what that was then. I'm getting a second monitor in 2 days, so that'll be very nice to finally be able to see other things while I'm streaming. But anyway, so let's talk about some of the craft that are unique to this game. I mean, you didn't fly the gunboat in X-Wing, but you got to fly it here. And I'll tell you, my first impression of the gunboat was, what the hell is this?
Why does this exist? Because we need something that has ion cannons
on
it.
It was the Y-Wing of the Empire.
We need a Y-Wing equivalent. But let's take the Y-Wing and just kind of make it a little worse. Let's give it a bigger profile. Let's make it a little slower. But let's give it some more missiles. Like thanks, guys. That's great.
Yeah. Let's cut to the chase. TIE Defender. That's pretty much the.
It's a win button. I mean, there's a reason it's not in X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Yes, that is true. It was because even the TIE Advanced, was an X-Wing equivalent, right? And then the Defender everything in, you know.
It was like get wrecked.
Yeah, it's
it was
like,
just like it had all the guns, it had all the missiles, it was fast, it had the best shields.
Let's take all the best things about a B-Wing and put it on a fighter.
Yeah, that flies as fast as anything.
Yeah.
Now, if I remember correctly, in the code, though, they still had the model for it in the code. It just wasn't in the game.
Yeah, there is like a mod, apparently, where you can enable it, I believe. But, I mean, they took it out because it was super overpowered. And that's kind of fair. I mean,
it was a little OP. I'll give it that.
It was a little OP. It doesn't make the mission.
Nerf TIE Defenders.
But it got canonized.
It didn't make. Oh,
like,
God.
Fast, man. I mean, you know, it was like Micro Machines put the model out for it instantly. And, you know, so it got picked up very quickly. It was popular. It wasn't
it's
like.
It's a great design.
Yeah, but see, that
it's
stuff
a,
from
funny.
Rebel
at first,
Assault.
At first, I thought it.
The stuff from Rebel Assault didn't exactly get the same love, right? So.
What was in. I never played Rebel Assault.
Oh, they had
Assault,
like some TIE Phantom. It was like a 3-wing TIE fighter.
The tri fighter.
Yeah, it was a weird thing.
Yeah, wasn't it the it can cloak couldn't
yeah,
it or
it had,
something like
it
that?
It had a stealth thing. It was Romulan actually.
Oh dear God, that sounds terrible.
That was Rebel Assault 2, I think.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
Yes,
those games were terrible. By the way, can I just put that out there? Terrible.
Yes, I
maybe
agree.
That's why I never played them. They didn't look that great.
They were. I did an episode on Rebel Assault, and everyone sort of agrees from a technical perspective, they were incredible games because it was like beginning of CD-ROM. They found a way to stream video off of the disc in real time and have branching video streams and all that. So that stuff was amazing. The game was a really bad rail shooter.
Oh, that's not fun.
Yeah, it was a really bad rail shooter.
It was frustratingly hard, especially the FPS. Portions of it, or like third person.
There were first person shooter.
Well, it was like third person,
it?
But yeah, I mean, it was like you had a rebel pilot, and he'd hide behind boxes, and then stand up, and then you had to like shoot stormtroopers. Yeah.
Wait, seriously?
Oh, yeah,
so
you're controlling the cursor with joystick.
So it was like
right?
The Interstate 82 of space games. Never get out of the fucking ship. If you got out of the fucking ship, is that what happened?
It's bad. Yeah.
Oh God, that sounds terrible.
Well, it starts out the first mission is you're in a T-95, I think it was, right?
Yeah,
or a T-16. Skyhawk.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so there's some Womp Rats, and but it's like you're flying, and there's a branch left and right, right? You know, and it's like, okay, if you want to do the hard stuff, take the left, and if you want to do the easy stuff, take the right. But it's just like the canyon continues to go, but there's a detection. Of like in certain spots, if your ship is too far to the left or the right, you just bash into the wall and explode. So, yeah, what? It was right.
What?
It was a laser.
So yeah, at the time it was. Yeah, I mean, at the time it was beautiful, like all you know, kind of laserdisc-esque games. It was beautiful looking, but it didn't play very well. So it was the Dragon's Lair of space games. How about that?
Oh. Oh, that hurts. that wounds me. Because I hated Dragon Slayer. I hated it so much. But going back to an actual good game, this game was, I mean, One thing I love and I hate is, I'm going to bring this up again, the puzzle nature of the missions. I want to do a whole show on this because I don't think puzzle missions are bad if you still give the player the illusion that they have a choice in what happens.
Or like if there are at least, you know, if there's more than only one way.
Yeah, exactly.
To solve it.
Exactly. Or if like you feel, or if you have enough resources to tackle the problem, you know, like enough wingmen or something. But this game, sometimes I swear to fucking God, it's like, oh, I have to fly through that hole to do this right or whatever. Like,
which also doesn't make sense in the context of the game. Like, you're Imperial, right? So it's you should have the might of the Empire behind you. There should be unending numbers of wingmen and TIE fighters. And
nope. Like, oh, we're out of reinforcements, guys. We're the fucking Empire. How are we out of anything?
Like, I could see that in X-Wing. It's like, you know, it's you and your one wingman against the Empire, and, you know, I'll take on the whole Empire myself, blah, 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 blah.
Good point.
But, yeah, not in this game. It should be the opposite. It should be you leading overwhelming force all the time.
And I kind of get that they, I guess, for balance, they didn't want to do that. But sometimes, like this mission I'm stuck on, it's like, I need a goddamn wingman, you know? I really need a wingman every now and
Shift
again.
Shift S, my brother. Shift S.
That only I did that, and then they came, and then they were all, but the ship, the it was two gunboats, like I said, it was only two gunboats, and they didn't last very long, and that was
there's some of those missions, so I start with Shift S because it's just like, it's about my fifth go round, and it's just like, nope, Shift S, you know, right from the get go.
Yeah, I did that twice for this particular mission, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna wait a little bit, and like when it gets really hairy, I'll bring him in.
Well, there was the one mission that I did tonight where there's a bunch of cargo things that you have to – it's in Campaign 3, I think. There's a bunch of cargo containers, and you have to destroy them all. And then if you inspect one of them that has rebels on it, then it changes to the second half of the mission, and the mission becomes like three times as long because then they send a shuttle to board the thing. And when that starts happening, a bunch of Y-wings and B-wings come in and start attacking your shit. And I just get murdered every time. So I played through it like five times, and finally I just shot the container that had the rebels in it before I inspected it and just completed the primary goals and screw the secrets, right? So whatever.
Yeah, I love how the secrets are always, we're going to be really secret, and I'm not going to show you my face, but I want you to inspect a cargo container. Really? That's what the secret of the order of the Emperor wants me to do, inspect a cargo. Okay.
Yeah, I was beyond the point of needing the tattoo at that point.
Like, you know what? It's cool. I just want to pass.
But hey,
it's like, really?
One thing that we do need to talk about.
I want
about,
you to find out how many.
One thing.
I want you to find out how many Beanie Babies are aboard that cargo container.
Wow. Yeah, like, it was what? A similar era, wasn't it? So one thing we do have to talk about is the strategy guide for TIE Fighter, because that was back whenever you had a telephone book sized strategy guide. It came with the GOG release, if you got that.
I know, but I want a printed copy I can read while I'm pooping.
Yeah, I've got the X-Wing one and the TIE Fighter one. Yeah.
Well,
you can't put that PDF on like a tablet or something, man?
I don't have a tablet. I'm just getting my second monitor for the first time. Do you think I have a tablet?
Put it on your Vita.
I can read it on my Vita. Yes. I'll read it on my Vita. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll read it on my Vita. No, I need to get the printed version because I just love having the book.
Yeah, it was a hell of an awesome
what is it?
Book.
And you could read Marak Steel or something like that.
There was a story in the X-Wing guide too.
Yeah, that's Kian Farlander in the Farlander papers.
Yeah, that was great. It's an amazing guide.
Yeah, and then this one's kind of the same thing from the other angle.
Yeah, I need to get a copy of that for myself.
See, and that's what I miss, though. I think, Brian, you and I have talked about this a little bit, is like games that came with really cool stuff back in the day. Like, I picked up an original copy of Wing Commander that's on like 5 1/4 or whatever.
Oh, and it had the
claw marks, baby.
Claw marks, yeah.
Yeah, but it also had like all these like cool technical specs on ships, like posters.
I used to have those blueprints used to hang on my wall when I was a lad.
Great.
But you don't get stuff like that anymore. And even I was even looking back at like my StarCraft stuff that I had like from the original StarCraft, and even their game manual had like a full it was like a book, like you could read the story like in the game manual.
Oh yeah, like all the background was there, and no, it's amazing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I always remember my big one, again, I talked about it before, was Ace of the Pacific, and it had a really thick manual, and half of the manual was, you know, here is the history of the Pacific Theater of World War II, and that's where I learned about that part of the war.
That's so cool.
Yeah, totally. All right, I'm buying the guide for myself. There we go.
I hadn't had it. I hadn't owned it originally. I actually got it when I covered X-Wing and TIE Fighter on the show. Because I had the X-Wing one, and I was like, you know, I always wanted this TIE Fighter one, so I just went on eBay and I got a copy.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, right?
Yeah, they're all over the place, so.
Right now, actually, I'm looking for the best price. Because I've been meaning to get one, because I have the X-Wing one, like Joe, but I've never gotten, I've never gotten the TIE Fighter one.
I even had the guide for Wing Commander 3, and the only reason for that was because of the, what's it called? The Behemoth mission. Because I thought you could I was convinced you could pass it.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, I was convinced. I'm like, I'm gonna go ahead with this, and because I thought, no, you know, it's Wing Commander. So if I'm gonna go on the losing track, because for some reason it didn't dawn on me that was part of the story and it had to die. Oh. So I bought the guide, and they're like, no, it blows up no matter what you do. I'm like, oh. I'm like, okay, now I get
that's
it.
So sad. No, yeah. Dude. No, I'm so sorry, you poor thing. You were supposed to. Oh, I remember that. That was crushing.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking Wing Commander. We actually haven't done a Wing Commander show, come to think of it. We should pencil that in for some point.
Yeah, that'd be
cool. We need to get Roberts back for that one.
We did talk quite a bit about Wing Commander when he was on.
I gave
on,
him shit about though. The Skipper missiles, and that was really the highlight of my career. I beat him about Skipper missiles.
And I had a horrible coughing fit at the time, so I couldn't stop him.
It's like, don't do that.
I couldn't stop him at all. I was like, oh, God, stop it. Oh, shit. Damn it, I'm dead. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Okay, I'm buying this. $16.95 on Amazon.
Impulse buyer.
Hey, sometimes, even though two games come out this week, and I bought Cities Skylines. And,
I gotta get that.
And I haven't even touched it. And Starships, Sid Meier's Starships comes out on Thursday.
Starships.
I find it interesting that Starships has a price point of $15 on release. Is that?
Well, it's also going to be a tablet. It's also going to be a tablet.
Well, is that why? Because they say, well, it's only worth $15 because it's a tablet game, or.
Well, I guess no one's going to pay $60 on Steam or whatever if it's $15 on your iPad.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. And if it's $30 on Steam, people are going to just scream bloody murder. And you know what? That's a good price point for a new game. More people, I think, will probably buy it or take the risk of buying it.
It takes a lot for me to spend $60 on a game these days, even $30.
You say it comes out on Thursday?
Yeah.
Through pre-orders.
Oh, wow. All right. Be right back.
Yeah, Well, GMG has a pre-order deal right now. You can get it for like 11 something, through their VIP thing. That's where I got it. But anyway, so this game. I mean, one thing that really shines in this game, even more so than X-Wing, is just the dogfighting feels so great.
It's very fluid.
It's so fluid. I think it wasn't until honestly Free Space 2 that it was surpassed. In terms of how fluid the dogfighting felt. Because the Wing Commander games, they never really felt fluid. they always felt a little janky. No matter how far in the series you got, it always felt a little janky compared to this.
I think it seemed like because I think they always tried to maybe push the tech a bit too far, and it wasn't quite there. Like in the first two games, you had like, you know, the sprites and everything, so it wasn't smooth because, you know, the ship would change its aspect and it would kind of jerk into like, okay, well, now I'm going to go to the three-quarter view and now I'm going to go to the top view. And now, so yeah, it was always this kind of jerky experience.
But just having the actual art of the game on the box sold so many copies of Wing Commander because people would walk, you know, people would like walk through Babbage's or what did we have?
Oh, yeah.
Babbage's Electronics Boutique.
Babbage's. Oh yeah,
you know, whatever store, and they would see that box and they would be like, oh, that's kind of funky, and then flip it over and be like, oh damn, that's a screenshot, sold, you know. But
yeah, I mean, I won't deny it was a beautiful game for the time.
Do you know they actually made it on the Commodore Amiga? But I had an Amiga 500, and I even had a speed chip in it. You know, I modded it, and it still played. Oh God, it was bad. It was about half speed. You know, but yeah. Of course, if you play it on an Amiga emulator, it runs, you know, super turbo fast now. But I guess if you had like an Amiga 2000 or something back in the day. But, the other thing that I found out came out on the Amiga was XCOM. I had no clue that they actually made that thing. Yeah.
I didn't know they had an Amiga version.
Yeah, I was Amiga'd out by that point. It was gone. But,
I never had an Amiga.
Yeah, it was actually a PC X-Wing guy. TIE Fighter that pushed me into the PC market. I ejected.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the trifecta. It was Doom, X-Wing, and TIE Fighter. And I was
that's a good trifecta. Yep. There's some amazing. That's some amazing stuff right there. Now, how many times have you guys played through this? I think I'm on my fourth or fifth playthrough right now.
Sadly, I'm only on my second playthrough of it.
And how far are you, Hunter? Sorry.
I'm in the third mission.
Oh, the third mission. So you're very early days.
Yeah, not the third whatever. It's
the third battle.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, battle. I see. So
you're where I am.
That's funny.
Yeah, actually, I guess I am.
What about
and
you?
And I'm also like a dorky. I'm a dorky completionist. So did you guys do like the proving ground or whatever it is in this one, and the historical missions and all that stuff too?
Of course. Yeah, of course. You got to.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably my third playthrough.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, you don't if you play it too much, it won't feel fresh. You gotta like give yourself time to forget stuff.
Yeah, I've probably.
But the proving grounds are great.
I have never fully completed the game on my own, but back whenever I lived with my buddy Matt back in Ohio, it was like, wow, when it came out. But anyway, so we would play this thing, and it was like take turns, right? You know, one guy would do a mission, the other guy would do a mission, and we probably played through it twice that way. You know, so it was like I saw the whole game twice, but I don't think myself I have ever done every single mission. So, but fair enough, right?
It's worth doing, I think, at least once, because it is a great story. It's just you're going to want to throw your joystick through a window every now and then.
Yeah, those were the missions that I ended up playing, I think, was the frickin' shoot down space bombs, right? That kind of stuff, right? It was like, oh, God. And that's still...
Well, thankfully...
Even when we play XVT, man, I see like a hail of proton torpedoes coming, and I just get my hair stands up. I'm like, oh, God.
Well, I got to say, this game isn't as bad in that particular respect as some of the Wing Commander or even Free Space missions. Usually they throw more ships at you than torpedoes, I think.
Or skip
well, missiles. I can say this, that never has a game ever motivated me more to pursue a tattoo than TIE Fighter did by trying to be a completionist and get all that shit done.
Oh, no, I totally want that whole damn thing.
It's just like, oh, I gotta have it. I gotta get the thing. I gotta do all of that. No, I didn't get the thing. Oh, I gotta go back and do it again.
I didn't inspect the shuttle, or I didn't capture this, and I didn't do that. Like, I like the whole primary, secondary, bonus objectives stuff, and that was something that X-Wing lacked as well. X-Wing was just finish the mission and that's it.
But you know,
like early Steam achievements.
It's amazing that it took 17 years for the tattoo mechanic to come back, because it wasn't until Far Cry 3 that we had a guy getting the tattoos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So did TIE Fighter invent the tattoo?
Like achievements?
Yeah.
Really?
Get a tattoo add-on if you complete the side mission.
It was like Fantasy
Island. A lot of games had like medals and shit. You know.
And so does this one, technically.
Yeah.
But with this, the one thing I did miss in this game is that in X-Wing and, you know, like, or like in Wing Commander 1, you had, like, you could go and look at your uniform and you could see your medals and your ribbons and all that stuff. I like that kind of thing. And
oh,
this game didn't have it. You just had, like, your medal case, which was a lot less impressive.
A lot less impressive.
And then they went overkill on X-Wing Alliance and gave you a whole trophy room. And
oh, God. Oh, God, that game.
And emails. You could read emails. Space emails.
Space mails.
Hey, Ace. Your but they still call it email. Take it's out the funny. Transport this week. And that freaking thought that he had.
Can we stop? Oh, God. I hate that bot and that family so much. I just hated the music.
This is so exciting, Ace. Here we go again.
Yeah, and that music that played in the family thing. Yeah.
See, I've got to go back because I only played Alliance when it came out, and so I only have good memories of it. And I don't remember hating the family stuff, so I have to go and try that again.
I'm with you. I actually didn't hate any of the family stuff, but I can see why people would.
Right. I mean, like, I thought it was cool. I'm flying a YT-1300. I'm like, yeah, I'm flying like it's kind of like the Millennium Falcon. It's just less good, but.
And then you realize how annoying flying the Millennium Falcon would be, and why most craft have a centerline cockpit. It's like, oh, I hit that cargo container again.
Dude, the worst.
Well, there was the one family mission, though, that I always thought was pretty and intense, because I always got, like, you know, I would sit on the front of my chair, was the one where you had to go and rescue somebody while a Super Star Destroyer was heading towards the space station. You had to fly past, like, in parallel with the Super Star Destroyer to get there.
Oh, Jesus. I don't even remember.
Oh God! I just remember that mission used to scare the shit out of me.
So, well, Super Star Destroyers are pretty scary.
Do you remember the night that I put it up on Twitch? I think it was you and me, Brian, that were doing it. And I got in the Millennium Falcon and tried to fly the Endor trench run through the.
Oh yeah!
My God, no!
Well, apparently, did you know you could shoot those girders?
Yeah, after we were done.
Yeah, yeah. Someone told us after we were done that you're supposed to shoot those. Oh, thank you. That's great.
I can't remember if I was ever able. I think I couldn't do it because my computer was too slow.
I just remember so we tried like 50 times one night, and then we found out we could shoot girders, and I've never gone.
Yeah,
back.
I just watched Jim fail again, and it was really disheartening.
If Lando can do it, I should be right. Able to
but
do
that's
it.
I was about to say. What are you, Lando? Suddenly, like, what happens in that game? Like, what happened to Lando? Like,
well, what happened to X-Wing? Why are you doing the trench run and not Luke?
Oh, very good point. I had forgotten about that. I guess when I was 20, I didn't think of that. I didn't really think that hardly about that.
Or I think maybe you play Luke in that mission in X-Wing. I can't remember.
Really? That would be a way to sidestep the fiction.
I think there was something where they justified it, because I remember in the strategy guide, you know, they go through the thing, but I think it was like Skywalker's after action report, and Farlander's like, because he got in trouble in the fiction in the strategy guide, and so he ended up not doing the trench run, and he's like, oh yeah, Skywalker went out and he did it, and whatever.
I want an alternate universe where Porkins got it. That's really, you know, in fact, I need to get the Mission Maker out and make like the Porkins Chronicles or something, just a campaign.
Just make him do all this awesome stuff and make him like the best pilot in the rebellion, and he just, you know.
It's not the Wotan weave, it's the Porkins weave.
Yeah, exactly.
That one's just kind of bigger and slower.
Well, no, you like inspect Imperial transports. Hey, this one's got donuts.
For cheeseburgers.
This one's full of In-N-Out. I must go there. This one has Taco Bell. No, thank you.
Target captured.
Target delicious. Am I drunk? I don't think I am.
So, Porkins. Yes.
Oh, Porkins. And you notice that when you played TIE Fighter, you never really ran into any of the famous characters from the movies. I kind of like that.
Because you'd have killed him.
You do fly with Vader at one point.
Well, that's really it, though. And it's only once. I liked how, since it was only once, it kind of made that mission more awesome.
Yeah, but Vader wasn't shooting that Jedi lightning out of his ship like we found out later that you could.
Oh God, there's this game that came out on the PS2, guys, called Jedi Starfighter. And it's
Oh,
It's actually fun, but it's bad shit insane because you're flying around a starfighter and you have Jedi lightning. It's like, what? This is the craziest thing ever. I love it somehow. I played that for like an hour or two a little while back, and I was like, this is great. This is so bad.
I think that one's on GOG as well right now, isn't it?
No. Only the first Starfighter game.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm just thinking of Starfighter.
Yeah, that's the only one that came out for the PC. This came out for PS2 and Xbox.
Right, yes.
Which is interesting because, like, these games were so big at the time that they actually crossed over a little bit to consoles a little bit. And they weren't that terrible. They weren't great. But Jedi Starfighter was actually fun. I was shocked by that.
Yeah, I never played any of the prequel games.
Not even Racer?
I think I played... No, I didn't play Racer. I did. Okay. No, I'm wrong. I did play Racer.
What about Bombad Racing?
Oh, God, stop it.
you need a little kart racing in your Star Wars.
Hey, why not? Super Mario Bombad Racing.
That was a thing, right? That was actually a thing.
It was fucking Mario Kart, Star Wars style. Yeah, you'd have a little Darth Maul and his little Sith whatever.
Oh, God, right. It's like a little bobblehead Darth Maul.
I don't know. He didn't, like, shoot a shell or throw banana peels or anything. So, God, what platform was that on? I need to...
Nintendo 64, I'm guessing?
No, it was like...
The Bombad Racing?
Yeah.
That was a PlayStation 2, I think.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I need to make that happen.
Super Bombad Racing. Yeah, it's a PS2. It's PS2. Oh, my God. I just Wikipedia'd it. It's, yeah, that's bad.
I had to find a ROM of that to try at an emulated version.
Developed by Lucas Learning, so it's educational.
Wait, Lucas Learning?
That's what it says. Developers, Lucas Learning.
The hell is Lucas Learning? Never even.
Lucas Learning does not have a Wikipedia entry. It's red, so.
Ah.
It must have been like a subdivision because it's developed by Lucas Learning, published by LucasArts. So it must have just been another little subdivision of Lucasfilm that they decided to make.
We'll make children's games for all the kids that are Anakin's age. They'll love it. No, they won't because they're terrible. What was that one horrible Star Wars game? The Builder game? It was a Builder.
Oh, DroidWorks?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What about Yoda Stories?
Oh, no. We love
that. I like Yoda Stories.
Yoda Stories actually wasn't that bad.
I loved Yoda Stories. I played the crap out of that.
I never played Yoda Stories. I should find it.
They were trying to do a series of coffee break games where you could have a little adventure. Like, they weren't even roguelikes, but they were kind of going in that direction where you have this little mini adventure for like 20 minutes to a half an hour. And they weren't bad. They did an Indiana Jones one as well, which wasn't bad.
They should re-release those on mobile.
Oh, The mobile would be perfect for that.
Yeah, they'd
stuff.
Be great phone games.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't.
Yeah, it's like it's perfect like toilet games.
Well, who knows? I mean, the X-Wing and TIE Fighter and all that did, like, I don't know if you guys saw on GOG, they were like top of the sales chart for at least a week, which is just like amazing for a
space. And as GOG games go for old games, they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But they're worth it. I mean, the concept.
Oh, no, I mean, they're
so worth it. Well, okay, so I found the mission I was talking about for X-Wing Alliance. It was Battle 4, Mission 3, where you have to go and rescue your sister, who's on a mining colony that's under siege by a Super Star Destroyer and a fleet of other Star Destroyers.
Oh, God, wait, is that the one where you're in the middle of the Rebel Alliance campaign, and all of a sudden, hey, Ace, stop everything you're doing to come save your sister in this stupid-ass mission? Is that that one?
Yeah, I guess, but it was pretty intimidating because you got to weave your way through a fleet of Star Destroyers to go get her.
I've really got to play this game again. It's been too long. I have no memories of X-Wing Alliance.
It's on GOG, as is X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and these guys.
You know the nice thing about X-Wing Alliance? Unfortunately, the craft update pack is not working yet. I check it, like, every couple days to see, like, they were just like, it'll be back shortly, just give it a couple days, and it's like, I've been checking for months. But even without the update thing, if you crank the graphics up to like 1900 by 1600, that game looks phenomenal. you know, and it's nice. So whenever the craft update stuff gets in there, it'll look like almost a modern game.
Yeah, almost.
Almost.
I mean, what I really want as follow-up from all these new, you know, from the new Star Wars movies and all this new stuff is an updated version of TIE Fighter and X-Wing and, you know, in a modern engine.
We were talking about that.
Yeah, I was actually playing Elite Dangerous with a gamepad the other day, and it wasn't awful. So it made me think, wow, if that's not awful, I mean, maybe this wouldn't be awful either with the game.
Yeah, and Hunter had some. Did you get it running, or was it just a video that you found of somebody that did get it running on their Android?
It's on my to-do list, but there is a video of a guy who got TIE Fighter to work on his NVIDIA, or not, excuse me, he got it running on a tablet.
Jesus Christ.
Was it running through, like, DOSBox or something? Or
yeah, it was like a DOSBox thing on his tablet, and I was like, shit, I could get that running on my NVIDIA Shield.
That'd be awesome.
And actually have physical controls, which would make it that much better.
Yeah. But we even talked about before, though, how cool it would be to have, like, a new X-Wing game in, like, a Crytek engine or, like, a Unreal Engine 4 or some crap like that.
Who knows? I mean, these sold well on GOG, and maybe the new movies will spurn interest in that. I just hope they go more this route and not the Starfighter route.
I want it to be, like brainy. You know, like you have to do some thinking. It's not just a shoot every
day. Yeah, there's some energy management and stuff.
Yeah, it's not just an arcade game like Starfighter basically, or the Rebel Assault games apparently.
Right,
which sound very much like arcade games compared to. I mean, this really isn't a simulator, but it's much more on that on that tack than.
Yeah. So
Rebel Assault just gives me anxiety. Like,
yeah,
really?
Sure.
Oh yeah. God,
why? I've never played it, so why does it give you anxiety?
Go watch. I have a video of me playing Rebel Assault, both Rebel Assault 1 and 2 on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
And my hands hurt when I play it, and like it's just
and you can
it's,
die it's, like you, any second for no good.
Yeah, you get frustrated because you want to move your character a certain way and you can't. Like you're like, don't. Why are you standing there? Stop standing there. Like yeah.
Well, I guess this takes us to a slightly broader topic, where in the inconsistent and varying quality of Star Wars games.
Right.
I mean, they're not as crazy inconsistent as Star Trek games, which are all over the goddamn map.
yes, they are.
Yeah, the worst of Star Wars stuff happened around Episode 1. It was all this game.
Oh, yeah. Came out. Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, because when X-Wing came out and TIE Fighter came out, this was kind of like in the golden age because Lucas, like the developers at LucasArts were not allowed to make Star Wars games for a very long time.
Really?
Yeah, they were explicitly forbidden to make Star Wars games, which is why it took so long. Like X-Wing and Rebel Assault were kind of the first wave, and they were in like the early 90s. So that's why we got all this other like crazy stuff like Monkey Island and Maniac Mansion, because they were basically like, because they were told like Star Wars is the Holy Grail. You can't screw around with this. You're like the little computer idiots and we don't know what you do. So, you know, go have fun, but don't touch Star Wars. George won't let you.
Oh, what changed?
I think they eventually someone got convinced about something, and because I think it might have been Lawrence Holland.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need to get Larry Holland on here. And
I've contacted Totally Games 3 or 4 times trying to get in touch with Lawrence Holland, and still no dice. I'm going to keep trying, but because I would love to talk to him about this, the Flight Sims, and Bridge Commander. Because, again, what the fuck, Bridge Commander? What happened to you? I could just go, fucking Bridge Commander.
But yeah, that was the thing, and I think that's why we got this flood initially of very high quality Star Wars games, because LucasArts was very very cautious about what they did.
Oh.
Because it was like under this moratorium for so long.
Yeah.
And then these did so well, they're like, okay, everything.
Well, and X-Wing pushed the hell out of a PC. Back whenever
it really did. It really did.
We're talking about boot discs. I had an X-Wing boot disc, so
I remember this CD-ROM version pushed the hell out of my 486 back in the day with all its, you know, kind of dynamic lighting and garage shading and 640 by 480. Ooh.
Super VGA.
Super VGA resolution. Like, what? I mean, now well, it's insanely crude, but.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you guys are talking about the timing of when this game came out, because I feel like a lot of Star Wars games kind of got dumped at the same time on multiple platforms. In the, like, that early to mid-90s, like era. I just feel like if memory serves, like, Nintendo got a lot of games, like, on its systems.
Yeah, you got, like, Super Star Wars, Super Empire Strikes Back, which I think for were pretty good platformers on the Super Nintendo.
And then you got Masters of Terakai.
Oh, God, let's not talk about that. Jesus. Oh, that one hurts me. Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. I can't. Oh God.
That's what a headache.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
No. Like, I will acknowledge its existence, but then I'll be like, you go back in your room. Like, I don't want to see you.
You were awful. You're always going to be awful.
Well, that's the thing about these old games is they're not getting patched. You're always going to suck. Like,
that's true.
There's no undoing you.
Was that around the time of KOTOR, or was that?
Oh, no. Before? KOTOR was, that was way before. That was like 98 or 99 was Terakai, I think. Mm-hmm. Kind of the late PlayStation 1 era.
Right.
I believe when games were really starting to push that hardware really hard. KOTOR was 2002.
Yeah,
2003, I think.
Because it was on original Xbox. Like that.
Yeah, it was on original Xbox and PC.
Yeah, I had it. Well. I actually still have the CDs, and I play it every once. I have it on my iPad, too, now. So.
And then there's my wife's favorite, which was Jedi Academy.
Those are great. All of those shooters.
God, the Dark Forces series, some of the best story, like with Kyle Katarn. Really? I love that.
Well, great story, horrible, mazy levels.
Well, you know, it was a modified Doom game, essentially, is what it was.
But it did have, Jedi Knight had one of the best, I think, first-person levels in any game, which was the tumbling ship.
Oh, yeah, yes. That was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, yes, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's one of the, that's one of the only first-person shooter games that has twinged my fear of heights to the worst degree. Because remember in that game where there are these parts where you had to go on this really thin, like, beam.
That's you're on Nar Shaddaa or something.
Yeah, and it's like you're over like this black chasm and it's moving and you have to jump from one to the other. I'm like, ah.
Yeah, like they were able to create a really great sense of space and.
Oh, height. They did. And they did a great job.
It was like nutty platforming stuff, though, man. It was like super rage quit.
Well, that's funny because Shadows of the Empire had a great story, but that control system was horrible.
I never played that one. Wasn't that console only?
That was
PC and console.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I played it on N64, and actually that I always have a story about that game, and that one of my friends had an N64, and we basically played it over a few weeks one summer. Mm-hmm. And we would literally take the N64 and he would put it in his backpack, and wherever we were, we would find a TV and we would plug in and play Shadows of the Empire.
Oh, the kind of shit you pulled when you were young.
It was mobile gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that I was just going to say, though, like, you want to talk about, like, awkward controls, that game definitely had it, because it was just, like, this weird third person, and, like, he kind of would slide when he would walk.
And the N64 just had the worst controller in the world.
Yeah, what was with that controller? That was a really strange controller.
That was the one with the three innovative. Yeah, with the three handles and the joystick in the middle.
Yeah, that was a really strange
controller. So a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the Star Wars Episode I Racer, and was it you, Hunter, that was telling us about the, oh yeah, some guy made a controller. So we looked it up, and the guy had made a custom N64 controller that was fused together. And
it was two controllers.
Yeah, it was like
so it had
two
like
controllers.
Four prongs on
yeah.
It.
Wow.
But it was specific to play in Racer because you could.
Oh, so he could so he had the two handles
exactly.
Like Anakin had.
Yep.
And
Well, because there was a cheat that you could do at the beginning when you launched the game to where you could put a controller in port 1 and port 3 or port 1 and port 2, and you could use two N64 controllers, and this guy melded them together.
Wow.
And he even took even took two, what was it, throttle? Or there was another guy that took two throttles from, like, joysticks and somehow modded them to be able to be, like, Anakin's pod racer.
Yeah, super nutty stuff.
I love people that do stuff like that. I love it so much.
Crazy hardware hackers. I love it. Yeah, it's great.
It's so
you know, somewhere, somebody has a freaking pod racer cockpit, like, in their spare bedroom or something that they built.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
And they just play racer.
Yeah. I'm the best in the world.
I'm the best ever. It's like they have a play. It's a PlayStation, so they can play one and two. Which is funny. Because, yeah, I didn't know there isn't even a second pod racer game.
Oh, Racer 2 is far, far better than the first one. Racer.
It really is. It's shockingly good. And I say that as someone who loved the first one. I loved the first one. I was so happy to see it in arcade the other day. Well, one, I was happy to see it in arcade the other day.
Yeah, how did that happen? I saw this picture and it was like there was more than one game in a place.
We were supposed to go. Okay, here's a slight tangent. We were supposed to go.
It wasn't Dave and Buster's either.
No, it wasn't. We were supposed to go whale watching with a couple of friends, with another couple. And for some reason, they couldn't buy tickets in advance. So we thought, oh, we'll get there early enough. We'll buy the tickets.
Just go to and we'll walk around the pier. In front of Baskin Robbins.
Well, someone bought the entire boat for a birthday party. Well, not bought the boat, but they rented the entire boat. So we're like, what do we do? So we just walked around the pier, and I swear to God, I like hear this familiar noise at one point. I'm like, is that skee-ball? And then I look to my right, and there's this massive arcade in the pier. And I'm like, I just start walking to it. My girlfriend's like, where are you going? Okay, bye.
It's like the siren song. He's like,
it really was. It really was. And they had everything from Centipede to Simpsons and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to House of the Dead 2, Virtua Cop 3, and they had Racer.
Wow.
But they also had all this old stuff like skee ball and air hockey. And you know, remember those really old, like in the boardwalk arcades, the quarter thing that would like you'd see it would be like a bar that would push the quarters back and forth and you'd have to guess.
Thief. Yes.
Yeah, they had those. Yeah, that was they had those suckers. Too.
It was.
No one was using them, but they had them, and they were working. But no one was using them. Everyone was like air hockey and shit and skee ball. But yeah, I was like, when I saw they had a – because we just talked about it. So when I saw they had the actual racer game, I was like, oh, my God, Hunter Jim, it's racer. I was very excited. I mean, they didn't have the original Star Wars game, the wireframe one.
The wire, yeah, the vector one.
That would have been a coup. Yeah, that would have been like, talk about
that before, because that was.
I actually got to play that for the first time, probably about 4 months ago.
No, the first time.
Yeah, for the first time, because I'd always wanted to try it, because I'd never been able to find an arcade that had it. But there was a place down in Columbus, Ohio called 16-Bit Barcade. It's a bar and arcade, right? So you go in, you buy a drink, and like all of the arcade machines are free to play on. And I go in the back, and there's that.
Oh, and they had this wasn't like emulation. They had the Star Wars thing.
It was
with the crazy ass controller thing.
Yes, it was the thing. I'll send you guys. I'll send you pictures, dude. I got video and pictures of it.
Wow.
And I will say I probably spent a good chunk of my time like trying to make it through that game. It was not easy, but I loved it.
Oh,
did it? I think it did. Yeah.
I think it did. I'm remembering a continue screen, so I think
I got pretty good. Like even on the hard level, I could kill all the towers, but then I'd get in the trench and I was toast.
In the trench, and you'd be like. You'd be like mincemeat, yeah.
And
it was very Tron-y. I just remember it being like, wow, this reminds me of the original Tron, like, a lot.
Well, I think
which was awesome.
I think the thing at the time, right, was like, everybody wanted to be Luke Skywalker and an X-Wing, right? And we had all these other video games that weren't Star Wars, but you kind of, you know, had that feel like, yeah, man, I'm X-Winging it. And then X-Wing comes out, and you can do it legit. And then I think it kind of, like, I don't know. It took a little bit of the zing out of the rest of the space games because it was like, no, here's the real deal. I can actually X-Wing it. So I want to see that Star Wars pod thing that they just came out with.
Oh, the new one. Yeah.
That looks great. I mean, it's kind of a rail shooter, but I really don't care.
As long as it's better than Rebel Assault.
Well, I played, I was about a month ago, I was down in Columbus again at a Dave and Buster's.
And they had it?
They hadn't put it in yet, but they were getting one. And I gotta go again, I think I'm going again sometime at the end of this month. And, they had the same company has like a jet version of that.
I have played that one.
And it is insane. So I was like, I played that, and then I was like, holy crap, the Star Wars ones is gonna be nuts. Because the thing vibrates, it blows air at you, and like...
Yeah.
So is it one of those, like, it has like a concave screen in front of you that goes...
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be nice. So Joan's favorite thing when we were at Disney, as far as rides go, they had this, it was like Soarin' something that it was called, but it's a hang glider deal. And you get, you sit on the bench, right, and then it goes up, and it's got one of those giant screens that's curved like that, and it's they project a movie, you know, like IMAX style, right? But you're in a moving chair that's like, I don't know, 30 feet up.
It's like a motion simulator.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, you're like 30 feet up from the ground, but it does that deal where it's like blowing wind in your face. It smelled strangely like pine-scented Febreze. You know, whenever you'd fly over the trees and stuff, it'd be like blow Febreze up your nose. But it was interesting, right? So her thing was like, well, you know, whenever they can do that at home, or maybe if the Oculus Rift can deliver that, then, you know, I'll be into it because whatever. But yeah, so that was kind of interesting. But if they can do an actual like cockpit thing where you sit in, like, give me a TIE fighter cockpit where I can actually see around outside the thing a little bit. Then,
like the Mech Warrior games they have at Dave and
Buster's. Yeah, do they still have those things?
The pods. Some of them do.
Okay, now does it
like look networked pods?
Does it look identical to Mech Warrior 4? Because the same guy. No, did
them. It's a little more rudimentary.
Okay.
Than Mech Warrior 4.
Because there was like two generations of pods, and I think like the later generation was actually running Mech Warrior 4 coat.
Okay, I must have seen the earlier generation because it's a little more rudimentary, but it's amazing in there. But apparently Iridium said he played that Star Wars game at Dave and Buster's, and it was a lot of fun.
I've only heard good things.
Yeah, I've seen video of it. It looks like a good time. So there's definitely still an interest in this sort of thing, Disney, if you're listening, which I hope you are. That'd be great. There's definitely an interest for more of this stuff, Disney.
You know, I was actually quite shocked being at Disney last month that they did not have more Star Wars stuff going on than they did. And they have that Star Wars – it's basically the Star Wars taxi simulator, right? Whatever the heck they call that. It's the something transport. But
Star Tours,
that's it. And have you been on that thing or seen it or what?
No. Oh wait, yes I was. Didn't they have one at Disneyland as well, right?
But they've updated it now. So now apparently, because before it was always just the same ride over and over. Now apparently, if you go, there's like there's an element of randomness where you go to different planets.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they updated it. So you might go to Endor, you might go to Hoth, you might go to, and then they introduced prequel stuff in there. So they did update the ride.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of awesome.
But I was.
So you can.
I was kind of.
It has replayability.
As old as it was, right? I was just thinking like, oh, hey, look, they got Star Wars stuff. And then it turns out, well, this has been here for 100 years. But what the thing that I thought was really cute about it was they took a picture of one of the kids, you know, that was getting on the ride, right? So then whenever the probes come up and they're like, we're looking for the spy, and it holds up the wanted poster and it's got like the mugshot of the kid that's sitting like two rows over from me, you know, and all his friends were like, woo, you know, so... That was
that's pretty cool.
You know, once the new movies come out, they're gonna start throwing all kinds of Star Wars.
I expected to see construction. You know, like have it ready, guys. But also no Tron stuff. I was very disappointed. No Tron stuff.
Oh,
I even wore my freaking Flynn's arcade T-shirt. I was walking around, and the Disney folks were like, "Hey, you know," and it's like, "Yeah, where is it?" Nowhere. Dude, they should have a freaking arcade there just called Flynn's, and it's just like, here's our Boardwalk arcade, do it up.
Well, they did have that at Comic-Con a little while back.
Yeah, that's true. Was that last year?
No, that was years ago, and the second movie was about to come out.
So apparently, Disney, the mall thing, like where the Wolfgang Puck's restaurant and all that stuff is.
Yeah.
Downtown
Disney. Yeah, downtown Disney. So we went there. I didn't get a chance to go in the arcade because apparently it's like $40 to walk in there. You know, you have to pay. Right?
What?
But apparently it's like a frickin' underground XCOM bunker that goes like four stories underground or some shit, right? So it's like this ginormous arcade. But I don't know if they have like the old school stuff in there or not. I would think with four floors of Disney scale, they should have pretty much every video game that ever was. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's like a bunch of modern stuff or whatever. I think arcades died when games started spitting out tickets, right? And you had to redeem tickets at a counter to give
I don't know if that's true. That was a longstanding thing.
Well, it was like, yeah, Skee-Ball did it, right? But then everything started doing it. And I was like,
Really? I thought it was because home consoles eventually kind of superseded the technology.
Well, yes.
Because I remember initially going to the arcade because the games were better than you could get on your NES or whatever.
Yeah,
and eventually
exactly. That
just kind of, they surpassed and it wasn't worth it anymore.
Exactly.
And then games started costing like $1.
Oh, God.
And that was just
Dragon's
ridiculous.
Dragon's Lair was the first one that was 50 cents, and that was like the beginning of that.
Sorry, I fucking hate Dragon.
But even still, man, you go down to the local bowling alley, they have one of those, like, multi-cades. It's got, like, 25 games in it. It's 50 cents. It's like, no. I'm not going to pay 50 cents to play Defender. Sorry. But
I played Defender at the arcade the other day. I forgot how crazy batshit the controls are on that game.
That game is balls hard, man. It is. I have
why
aren't
I moving? Oh, right, thrust button. Oh, reverse button. Oh, shit, I died. It's like, that was a quick run. Oh, don't shoot the guy. Oh, I shot the guy.
I only have very vague memories of Defender on the 2600.
Oh, God, the 2600 version was no better.
No.
I mean, the only good thing about the 2600 version was, if I recall, there was no button to reverse. You just pushed the other way on the joystick because it only had one button, so you couldn't have all those multiple buttons, right?
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
But with the arcade game, there's a reverse button, and there's a thrust button. It's like, God damn it.
It's a ship. It's complicated.
I hate you, Defender. Yeah, it was complicated. But once I kind of started coming back to me, I was like, wow, this is actually kind of awesome.
Yeah, you know the Star Wars Battle Pod thing? I'm watching a YouTube video of somebody playing it with a GoPro camera on their head. It looks pretty damn awesome, actually. This reminds me of a system that I saw on a video from Japan that was actually a Gundam like mecha that you were in, and you had that giant screen in front of you, and but it was multiplayer, right? So it was like, you know, 12-on-12 Gundam fights, which is pretty awesome, right? Do you know if they took the MechWarrior online engine and just stuck Gundams in it, how much insane money they'd make in Japan?
It's probably not quick enough.
Because
mechs, like MechWarrior mechs, are kind of big and lumbering, and Gundams are all fast and fire missiles. And
that's true.
Yeah, true. I imported one Gundam game from Japan. Unfortunately, I still don't read Japanese, but it's multiplayer mainly, and I just get devastated when I get on there and start playing people. It's I just cannot compete with the dedicated Gundam fans from Japan. I mean, it's like being a 6-year-old kid playing Super Street Fighter against a world champ, right? That's like the level of competition that I offer them.
Or me playing any FPS.
Yeah, I've got, unless it's single player, I don't really play FPSs anymore.
Yeah, dude, this Battle Pod thing, guys doing the trench run and stuff, and it looks pretty rad.
Aren't there also Darth Vader missions in it where you get to fly as Darth Vader? I think.
I don't know. I want to see some TIE Fighter stuff. Like, this X-Wing stuff is boring. You know, like, give me that TIE Fighter. It would be nice if it was just multiplayer, man. Just like multiplayer X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. Connect those battle pods around the world or something.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be pretty great. That would be pretty awesome. So I'm kind of losing consciousness, so we should probably start wrapping it up. We've been talking for an hour and a half. We've been talking for well over an hour and a half anyway. But that was great. Yeah, this game. So, Joe, I want to thank you for taking the time, because you just recorded an episode of your own show.
Literally, like, I literally, as we started talking, I was pushing, like, deploy podcast. So the timing worked out quite well.
Wow, good show. I don't know if I could record anything for that long. I'd be exhausted. So good on you.
Hey, it's almost midnight over here, so.
Oh, where are you again?
I am in Toronto.
Oh, okay. So that's the east coast of no, is that middle Canada?
It's eastern central.
Central?
Like it's not on the coast, but it's not in the prairies.
So yeah, you're eastern time though.
Yes. Right?
Okay. Yeah. Like most normal Americans raised in public school, I'm very ignorant of Canadian geography.
It's very, very understandable.
So, then, eh?
Oh God!
Yeah, eh. Well, I grew up in Quebec, so I speak French.
Oh no! Oh boy! You should do a French version of your podcast. That way, my girlfriend would actually listen to it.
That might not be a bad idea.
No. So, what?
I was going to say, are you familiar with the movie Final Sacrifice? Then
I don't think I am.
Oh God! Oh God! are you serious?
I did just go there, Brian.
You went
I know.
There? Final Sacrifice is a Canadian quote unquote horror movie that was spoofed by Mystery Science Theater 3000, and it's really one of their finest efforts.
I will have to check that out.
You have one of the finest heroes ever put to film. Zap Razdauer.
It has a 2.3 on 10 on IMDb.
Yeah, it's not so bad that the bad guys apologize for showing it to them like they did with Manos, but it's up there.
Razdauer is like the Canadian Chuck Norris.
That sounds about right.
Razdauer.
No, I definitely missed out on this one.
Oh, you need it. I don't know if it's still on Netflix. If not, find. I think they have a YouTube channel now with all their shit on YouTube. So yeah.
Oh, I will go and find this.
Final Sacrifice. It's horrendously bad, but their commentary is. Oh my god.
Fleeing from the cult that murdered his father, Teen is aided in his quest to find the lost city of fabled Ziox by a secretive drifter.
Yeah. Secretive drifter. He's got like his clothes hanging in the back of his pickup truck,
covered in denim, just nothing but denim and a mullet. Like,
oh god, that's right, it's all denim all the time.
Welcome to Canada.
So, is that what you think of, Hunter? When you think of Canada, you think of the Final Sacrifice?
Well, my future father-in-law is from Canada as well, and so I asked him the same question. He's like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." I was like, "Damn it!"
See that now? When I think Canada, I think SCTV.
Yeah, Strange Brew, that kind of stuff.
Strange Brew, which
William Shatner,
which came from SCTV.
Or Da Vinci's Inquest.
Yes, what? Da Vinci's Inquest, fine CBC show.
What? Oh, really? Is that
it's like Canadian Quincy.
Basically. Really?
I loved Quincy. Anyway,
we've got all kinds of crazy stuff up here.
I love the National. That's my favorite Canadian thing is the National with Peter Mansbridge.
Peter Mansbridge.
Yeah. I wish we had an American Peter Mansbridge.
Dude, that's the most macho name ever. It's
no,
like
you
Peter
should hear
Mansbridge.
This guy talk. You can hear this guy. You should hear this guy talk. Anything he says, like, yes, I trust you. Because he's just got this voice. You're like, you are an authority on whatever you're talking about. And I believe what
he's
you said.
He's a national treasure.
He really is a national treasure.
Yeah, but
he's
Peter
amazing.
Mansbridge, that's like blast hard cheese. It's like...
Yes! Oh god, that's another one. Oh god, Space Mutiny. That's another one. That's probably one of my favorite ones.
Hey, if you look in the Skype chat, I got a link there for you.
There you go. Found it.
Okay, well, we went on a random ass tangent there, folks, but I hope you enjoyed it. And thank you everyone for listening. Joe, Hunter, thank you for being awesome guests. Jim,
it was an honor.
For me too. And thank you for coming on. Thank you for giving me the idea for this, because we've been doing this almost 2 years, and we're like, why haven't we done a TIE Fighter show? That's crazy.
Wow.
Probably because I haven't gotten Larry Holland yet.
So in the in the Star Wars Battle Pod thing, you can totally kill Han Solo. I just watched a guy smoke the Falcon.
What? Yep. No.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, that's so dope.
Or do you get to maybe eat burrito?
What? That's crazy. All right, guys. Well, thank you, everyone, in the chat for watching. We had a good turnout tonight. We had, like, what, 9, 10 people in there, which is pretty good for us. Wow, yeah, there's 10 people in there besides me.
More than I get on my Twitch streams.
So. That's pretty good. So thank you, everyone, for watching, and thank you for listening. And next week – oh, God, what the hell are we doing next week? We have a guest next week. We're talking about something.
Check your calendar.
I'm looking. Hang on. I'm looking at Trello. I got to look at Trello. Hang on. That's where I have everything is Trello. If you guys haven't used Trello, seriously, it's the best. Okay, yeah, next week we're talking Space Warfare Infinite with the creator Mike Dolan. So
yeah,
check that out. And
I will say that the most awesome Trello moment is whenever I put the Trello LOL Russian guy on YouTube, and I was like, did you say Trello? And then the Trello developer jumped in and like posted another thing. It was like specific to them. That was pretty awesome. I forget exactly that was unexpected.
Yeah, that was really nice. Though the Trello guys, they actually, I don't know if you guys have seen this. Trello is a great tool, by the way. But they actually put all their shit or what they're working on in a public Trello themselves. So you could see what they're working on for Trello, which is pretty awesome.
That's not bad. It's like extreme agile. Like, it's transparency, meta. Blah,
it's,
blah, blah.
Yeah, it's a kind of metal, metal. Metal task management. Yeah, that's great. Meta task management. But yeah, so that's what we're talking about next week. And then we have our 100th show, which I'm working on, which that's exciting. So yeah, thank you everyone for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.